The Science Show on RN. And now, have you ever heard a bat sing? So what's going on? Who better to ask than Batman, professor at the Queensland University of Technology, Stuart Parsons. Before I call you Batman, does that make you cross?
You won't have been the first. I've gotten used to it.
You don't mind?
No, I don't mind at all. But I used to play golf a lot, and so my children used to buy me golf things. And then they realized as they got older that I was actually a bat biologist, and forever then on I've been getting bat paraphernalia. So I've gotten used to it. It's fine.
Which bats do you study?
My personal passion is really any echolocating bat.
Do they get their signals back? Because they send out a signal and they get a return signal. Is that very, very quick?
It is. It's the speed of sound, 343 meters per second. So they'll send the sound out. It'll either go out through their nose or their mouth, and then it'll bounce off an object, if there's an object there, and return to their ears. They can actually measure the time difference between sending it and receiving it, and that just gives them the distance.
And they get a kind of picture of what their surroundings are like, perhaps?
They do. They get what we call an acoustic image, but I think using the analogy of vision constrains us in the way we think about how the animal uses it, because we try and create what we consider to be an image and try and draw analogies to what the animal is actually, I almost did it myself, seeing in its environment. And I think it's different for the animal, but it's probably the closest thing that we can come up with. But they can work out the distance to an object. They can work out its movement from left to right, its position in vertical space. And they're actually very good at working out the relative acceleration of themselves through changes, what we call Doppler shift, in the returning echoes as well. So they get a very, very good idea of what's around them. And they're doing it about 10 times a second. They're producing these pulses. They're getting very fast updated information.
Now, you said they use their ears, obviously, mm-hmm. but what about their faces, their funny grooved faces? Are those in any way for reception?
Some of them are, particularly in the horseshoe bats and the hippocederid bats. So they've got these quite ornate nose leaves. And it's been shown that actually the bats can change the focus of the beam of sound and change the direction that it leaves from their face by actually adjusting the shape of that nose leaf. And there's quite a strong association between the sound and the shape of the face and of the nose. So if you measure the distance between the nostrils, it's equivalent to the dominant frequency wavelength of their sound. So there's obviously, because a lot for those bats, it comes out of their nose, there's a very strong association, and they can control how wide the beam of sound is, so how focused it is, or is it just spraying around? And without moving their head, they can actually change which direction the sound goes out in.
How do you know this? How do you study them?
So there's a bunch of very talented people that get bats in captivity, and they have them in labs. Bats are very, very smart. They're very easy to train, and they can actually use high-speed video, high-speed microphones, and actually measure what the bat is doing and the direction of the sound and how that relates to the 3D structure of its actual face or the nose leaf as they're producing those sounds. And they can get the bat to echolocate on command, make a little noise, and the bat will think, okay, it's time for me to echolocate, and it will do it. Usually the bat will be echolocating on an object that they will have put in front of it. And so they can move that object in an arc around the bat's face. And then they can see how the change in the shape of the nose orients to that change in the movement of the object.
So how do you train them? You give them food? You give them a berry as a reward or what?
Food. Bats love food. We did some work in New Zealand, in southern New Zealand, where we wanted a bat to fly down a corridor so we could look at how they produced echolocation calls and how it was related to their wing beat. The idea being that when a bat flies, it takes a certain amount of energy. And when it echolocates, it takes a certain amount of energy. And if you add them up, bats can't do both. It costs too much. So there's this idea that they biomechanically link them. So essentially, when the wings are pulled down, the muscles that do that squeeze the chest, and like a bellows, they fire out the sound. So the cost of echolocation is zero, but they pay the cost of flight. So we were interested in actually testing this theory by flying bats down a corridor in a cabin in the middle of the woods. And as we were doing that, we had high frequency microphones and things set up, and we could actually watch the bats as they went down and try and work out how that linkage was happening as well. So, you know, there's lots of different things you can do with bats. It took about 2 minutes to train them. We would actually take them out of the little holding bag, and we would get them to fly down the corridor. And if they did it right, we would give them a small mealworm. And if they didn't do it right, we wouldn't give them a mealworm. And that worked for about 10 minutes until the bat worked out that it was just not going to do it, and it would probably get fed. To the point where when we didn't feed it, it bit us and made us feed it. And then that was it. We put it back in the bag that evening. We took it back to the forest and let it go. So there's a period where they'll do what you want, and then there's a period where they've just worked it out, and they just want food.
Sounds exciting. And do bats sing?
They do. And it's a very understudied but fascinating area. So there's probably about 20-odd species of bat that sing. So bats are really well known for echolocating and this ability to locate objects in space. And the way their brain is specialized to do that is tremendously complicated, but exquisite at the same time. So a lot of people focus on that. But bats also produce a number of vocalizations that are more social in their nature. And so they will use sound to defend some food. If they're flying around in an area with lots of insects and someone else comes along, they'll chatter at them. If they're caught in a net, that we sometimes catch them and you'll hear them chattering to each other, a distress call. But there's also bats that sing. And we've been doing a little bit of work on one particular species, just really try and understand why they sing and what it actually means to the animal and in terms of its mating system as well.
How do you do that again? Okay, they're singing, but can you work out what the reason is?
That's the real trick. What we've been doing, this is a particular bat that lives in New Zealand called the lesser short-tailed bat. And for a number of years, it's been written down that they have a mating system called lekking. And so lekking is predominantly in frogs and birds, and there's a few mammals that do it as well. But in bats, it's very, very rare. There's only one species, a hammer-headed bat in equatorial Africa, that's been proven to do it. It's always been thought that lesser short-tailed bat is also lek breeder, and that this singing is part of their display to females. And so we've spent probably about the last 10 years really probing whether or not we can prove that they're doing this. And so one of the things that we've been doing is recording their vocal repertoire to see how they produce it. Are there individual signals for males? Are there particular types of notes that they produce? But also, you want to look at the behavior of the female, because you can record lots of sounds, but unless it actually influences a female in her choice of a male, you haven't really got anything. You've just got an animal that makes a bunch of sound. So yeah, we've been doing playback experiments to females. We've been looking at the structure of the calls, just really trying to piece together whether or not they are singing to the females and whether or not it's this special kind of mating system.
And so far, what's the theory for you?
Well, we've actually proven that they do it. So a PhD student of mine, Corey Toth, spent 4 years in the forest working with the bats. And he showed that, in fact, they've got a very complex series of notes and the way they put them together into syllables that are actually individual. So a male will put the songs together in a different way. And this will help females to identify that individual. The males also occupy these small cracks in trees that we call singing roosts. And they're aggregated in the forest, which is one of the requirements for a lek. And they're arranged around where the females live in a big communal roost. So essentially, the males group around this resource of the females and they sing to them as they leave. And we've got video of the females arriving, mating events and things like that. And we can show that, in fact, females prefer smaller males, which is odd. Normally, in a lek mating system, females prefer larger males. And that's linked to the frequency of the sound they produce. So bigger males produce lower frequencies. In this situation, the females are preferring smaller males. And through the genetics, we can actually show that the smaller males have a higher rate of fathering young within that population to demonstrate that this is the case.
They're mammals, so you'd expect a certain subtlety of behavior. But do they keep surprising you?
All the time. I think one of the great things about working with bats is there's no rule that won't be broken by them. You'll go in, you'll read literature, and you'll think, okay, this is what the animals should be doing, and they're always doing something different. One of the things we've been investigating recently is because males have got particular sequence of notes and the way they produce them, could this be a language? Could they actually be speaking through this? And the work that we're doing at the moment actually does show that each male tends to use a particular order of notes, a particular repetition rate of notes that is beginning to meet the requirements of what we would call a language. Now, one of the things we have to prove is, what does that mean to a female? How does the female hear that language and what does she think about it? But the idea that a bat might be singing in the forest to attract females, but actually they're using a language to speak to those females is tremendously exciting, I think, and not something we ever thought we would find.
Stuart Parsons is a professor at the School of Earth and Biological Sciences at the Queensland University of Technology. bats and language. What next?